October. 2 Chronicles 34, a story about one of the kings of Judah, very unique king. Number one, because he started his rule at 8 years old. Can you imagine being 8 years old and being the ruler of thousands of people? And back in those days, when you were the king, you were the king. You had final say. What you said goes. But also, he was the king that brought about the final, what I would call revival among the Jews prior to the final captivity. And there was a little one under Nehemiah and Ezra, but they were all pretty much captives anyway, and just it was basically just isolated there in Jerusalem. But this was the final one, what I will call a revival, prior to Nebuchadnezzar coming and taking them away. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter to get us introduced because it's just not enough time. So I'm just going to read the first three verses, then jump down to verse 27. We'll pray, but we will walk through the entire chapter and see what we can learn from Josiah, an eight-year-old king. So verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And then down in verse 27, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So our title is there from verse 27, because thine heart was tender. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now the Holy Spirit would take the precious and powerful word of God and speak to our hearts through it. And Lord, we would grow and we would be changed. We would be listening. And Lord, we know that you can use the word to work miracles in our lives, to comfort, to convict, to encourage, whatever the need might be. We pray that will happen. Lord, that you would be glorified and that, Lord, you would speak the words today from your word, what we all need, and that we would leave and say, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you. We give you this service. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, can you imagine being the king at eight? I mean, you should be allowed to be a child, right? But his dad died young. His dad was a wicked king. And it was the lineage. This was, remember, by now, Judah and the main part of Israel have been separated for hundreds of years. Matter of fact, what they call the northern tribes of Israel had already been taken captive by now. This was about 640 B.C. or so. It's been about 350 years since Israel was at its peak under David and Solomon. And like I said, the northern tribes, remember the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes who stayed in Jerusalem, the northern tribes, they were much more wicked, and they were already under captivity. And here we read about what's left of Israel, which is the tribes that were centered in Jerusalem. And Josiah, he was 18 generations from David. So even though it said his father David, it was actually 18 generations, 350 years since David. And the final good king. You know, there were plenty of bad kings, a few good kings along the way. Josiah was the final good king, as we call them. And it was right after his reign that his son took over, who was sadly a wicked king. And then not long after, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, came in and took them as well into captivity with Daniel and his friends. But it says there in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, there's a parallel passage in 2 Kings 23, if you would turn over there quickly, because I want to show you a very fascinating statement made about Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, not made about any other king of Israel or Judah. And look what God says, 2 Kings 23 and verse 25. It says, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Wow. So no king before him and no king after him. In other words, outside of David, he was the best king that Israel had ever seen, and he started at 8 years old. Can God use children? Absolutely. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God," there in Mark 10:14. Now let's walk through this chapter and learn from Josiah today. Verse 3, "For in the 8th year of his reign," so he was now 16 years old, "while he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David his father. And in the 12th year," he's now 20, "he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images." There's four main things we'll see in this chapter that Josiah instituted or changed that led God to bless him with a peaceful time in his reign. And the first one is, number one, he removed sin out of the land. And if we can take that on board, if we're going to have a revival in our own lives, it always starts there. It always starts with sin. And that is recognizing the sin that's in our lives that we haven't dealt with and removing it. Just like Josiah did in Judah and Jerusalem. And he got serious about it. Look at verse 4. It says, "And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem." So he didn't just send people to do this. He did it himself. He would have had people traveling with him. But he took the time to actually travel throughout his kingdom and make sure that everything related to Balaam, which was essentially the worship of Satan, was removed. And even those that worshipped, and even anything related to their worship, was destroyed. He cleansed the kingdom of wickedness. Does God want us to cleanse our lives of wickedness? Of course he does. Now the Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible tells us, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" And then he tells us down in verse 17 of that same chapter, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." God wants us to be separate from sin, separate from the world. He says in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." God wants us to do the same. He wants us to remove the sin out of our lives. The Holy Spirit is constantly telling us about this sin when we try to pray. God says you need to take care of it. And that's the only way we're going to have a revival in our own lives, is if we start right there, and that's always with sin. We have to remove the sin. But Josiah went further. Verse 8 of our passage, "Then he said, let's make the true worship of the God of heaven a priority in our kingdom." And so it says there in verse 8, "In the 18th year," so now he's 26 years old, "of his reign, when he had purged the land," so that was the first thing he did, he purged the land of sin and the house, "he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Johaz the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God." And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered in the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel, and all of Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites, the son of Meraiah, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and the other of the Levites that could skill of instruments of music. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. Does God want us to make worship a priority in our lives? Absolutely. David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. God wants us to assemble and worship Him as a family. We're told in Psalm 92, 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Hebrews 10, 25, most of you know this verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are commanded to assemble so that we might corporately worship God together. And as you can see, the temple had fallen into disrepair because they weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping the devil. They were worshiping Balaam and idols. And so he spent the 6 years first cleansing the land. And then when he was 26, he said, now that we've cleaned out all of this rubbish that shouldn't have been here in the first place, now we need to fix the house of the Lord. Now we need to make worship a priority again so that God's people can come to the temple of the Lord and worship God the way we're supposed to. And if you're going to have a revival in your life, you can't do it without worship. You can't do it without prioritizing worship in your own Christian walk. You know why? Because God prioritizes it. Because He's worthy of all honor and glory and power and wisdom and riches and strength and thanksgiving and might and salvation. And we could go on, couldn't we? God is worthy. And we need to prioritize worship. So He purged the land of sin. We need to purge our lives of sin. He made worship a priority. We need to do the same. Then number 3, verse 14, when He heard the word of God, which, by the way, they hadn't heard for decades, look at His response. Verse 14, and they brought out of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they've gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they've delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Look how surprised they all are that they found this book, which, of course, was the Old Testament. It was the Bible. But because they had been worshiping false gods for so long, it was just stuck in a closet somewhere. And nobody even knew what it said or that it was even around. And while they were cleaning out the temple, they found this book, which was God's word. And so they brought it to the king. In verse 19, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Isn't that good? When he heard the word of God, he immediately rent his clothes, which was a sign of deep remorse, deep repentance. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah. In other words, everybody else had been taken captive already. Concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Wow. He rent his clothes and said, go find a prophet, if there's any prophets left in Israel that actually can still hear from God and speak for God, go find one and find out if God has anything to say. Because we are in serious trouble. We have not been listening to this book. We've not been obeying this book. And that is why he, of course, rent his clothes. And so it says, verse 22, Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to hold of the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hazarus, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And of course, that took place under Nebuchadnezzar not long after. As for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. One person among hundreds of thousands. God said, my wrath is still coming. I'm not going to hold back. It's too late. There's been 300 years of wickedness, of ignoring me, of not listening to my word, of not worshiping me, but worshiping false gods. My wrath is coming, but Josiah, because thine heart was tender, when you heard the words of this book and you responded by humbling yourself and by rending your clothes and by commanding that it be read, which we'll see here in a moment, I'm going to hold off my wrath until your reign is finished. And he reigned for over 30 years in Jerusalem, and they had a peaceful reign. And then right after his reign, Nebuchadnezzar came in and literally destroyed Jerusalem. The temple that they had taken the time to rebuild, he destroyed it. Because thine heart was tender. And God defines what that means. He says, number one, verse 27, you humbled yourself. Well, we're supposed to live a life of humility, amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall, number one, humble themselves. The great revival verse, most of us know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble themselves before me. And it says, and you did rend your clothes and you wept before me. In other words, you showed genuine repentance. And let's look at Psalm 51:17, make sure we know what that is, because you hear that word all the time. And the Bible says, but he that forsaketh them shall have mercy, talking about sin. It's one thing to say, Lord, I was wrong. It's another thing to say, Lord, I was wrong and I'm sorry and I'm going to do my best not to do it again. That's a totally different response, isn't it? You know, kids try it on their parents all the time. Oh, I'm so sorry. And they're not really. They just don't want the punishment. But when you're genuinely sorry, it's obvious, just like it was obvious to God, that Josiah was genuinely sorry for Israel's behavior, genuinely repentant. He rent his clothes, and then it says that he humbled himself, and it says, look at Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, whenever someone comes to me and they say, I've been involved in this sin and I am so sorry, I always send them home and I say, I want you to read Psalm 51 on your knees for a week. Because Psalm 51 is the most beautiful penitential psalm in the Bible. And you know when David wrote it? After he got caught out with his sin with Bathsheba by Nathan the prophet. And I do that every time. You go home and you read this psalm on your knees for a week. Make sure you understand what it really means to repent and be sorry for your sin. This man was. And so God said, I've heard you. And Josiah could have stopped right there. Said, well, that's good. Okay, my reign's going to be peaceful. Praise God. But no, he didn't stop. Because he was genuinely sorry. And so look what he said in verse 30. And the king went up unto the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. Verse 30. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. He made sure that the entire kingdom heard the words. Now, have you ever read Genesis through Deuteronomy? You think that would take a little while to read that publicly? That's what he did. It's all about the Word of God. If you're going to have true repentance, if you're truly going to be a changed person and say, yes, Lord, I need to get rid of this sin in my life. I need to get back to worship. But my response to the word needs to be like Josiah's was. You know, David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day in Psalm 119, 97. This book is powerful, but God wants our response to it to be genuine. Look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 quickly, if you would. God wants us to be real when we say, Lord, yes, I recognize the sin. Lord, I recognize my Christian life isn't what it should be. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to do something about it. Josiah didn't just talk about it and say, yes, I hear it. And the book tells me this and we've been wrong. He said, now let's do something about it. Let's read it to all the people so that they also can hear the words of the Lord and be changed. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground. If you've ever seen a farmer's field that needs the plow, it's gotten kind of crusty and hard on top. Why does he have to plow? Well, because it would be a waste of time to drop seeds on that, wouldn't it? You got to have the dirt soft. And so he's likening our heart to that hard ground that needs broken up so that the Word of God can effectively work in our hearts. Because this book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It can pierce the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Jeremiah 23:29, God says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? If we'll listen, this book can work miracles in our hearts and bring true repentance. So number one, he purged the land. Number two, he reprioritized worship. And then number three, he listened and responded to the Word of God. But he didn't stop there. Let's go to verse 31 of our passage in 2 Chronicles 34. And the king stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin, this is the entire kingdom, to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Wow. No wonder they had a revival. He said, first we're going to clean the land out because we can't go anywhere until we get rid of all these false idols and false priests. Then we're going to fix up the temple. We're going to reprioritize worship. And then he heard about this book and he said, this is not good. We have been really disobedient. And so he made sure that he read it to all the people and he responded with a tender heart and humility. And he said, and now that you've heard the book, we as a nation, we're going to make a promise that we're going to keep the book. Amen. We're going to obey it. That's genuine repentance. Does that mean you'll live a perfect life from then on? No. But it means that you're making a promise to God. Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better at obeying your word. Now that the word has spoken to my heart and convicted me and I'm cleaning out the sin and I'm reprioritizing worship in my life, I'm now not only going to listen to your word, but I'm going to obey it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 22. Deceiving your own selves. He talks about that. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. How God likens the Bible to a mirror. And this is what God wants. When we go into His Word, and when the Word speaks to our hearts and points things out in our lives, God wants us to respond like we should. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can God say of us, because thine heart was tender? Do we have that tender heart to where we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to us through God's powerful word? Or have we allowed it to get hard with sin? And it needs to be broken up. Amen? We need to have a Josiah moment in our lives, maybe, to where we wake up and say, you know, I got to get this sin out. I need to reprioritize worship in my life. I need to get back in the Word of God on a daily basis and hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to me. And when He does say something to me, I need to do it. Not just say, yes, Lord, that's good. You're right. I should do that. And then just go on our merry way and do what we want to do. No, we need to. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Just as an interesting side note, chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles, Josiah then, it says, he kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, which of course was what God commanded, because that was the day that the first Passover happened when they were delivered out of Egypt. Look at verse 18 of chapter 35. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. That was 400 years from Samuel to Josiah. It says they had never kept a Passover like that for 400 years. No wonder they had a revival. And so God said, I'll hold off my wrath just a little bit. It's still coming. It's too late. Israel wouldn't listen to all my prophets. But Josiah, because thine heart was tender, he said there in verse 27, I'm going to hold it off until your reign is finished. And then it's coming. Well, you know what? The wrath of God is coming upon this earth. It's called the tribulation. It's going to be terrible. But God in His mercy is going to take us away first. Hallelujah. Because He hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what God's looking for in the meantime? People with a tender heart to His Word. God still speaks to hearts in powerful ways through this. If we will get in it, if we will expose ourselves to it in church as much as possible, if we will read it, if we will meditate in it, God will use it to bring a revival in our hearts, just like He did in Josiah and the kingdom of Judah. God said, because thine heart was tender. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this great story from the life of Josiah. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn from this how important it is that we be responsive to the Word of God by showing genuine repentance, by cleaning out the sin and reprioritizing worship, Lord, and by obeying your commandments. I pray that this would be our goal, that we might please you and show our love through our obedience. I pray, Lord, that the work you've done in hearts this morning would be lasting, that your people would be willing to make commitments to you about sin, obedience. And I pray if there's anyone in our service not born again, Lord, you would open their heart to their need for the gospel, their need for salvation in Jesus Christ, and they would be born again even today. We ask this in your